Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Welcome back to the Ryer on YouTube channel. Travis Ryer back with you following the Alabama Crimson Tide's 24-3 loss to the Oklahoma Sooners out in Norman. Hold on one second. We're going to get a little audio improvement here. Hopefully that makes us sound a little bit better. Might be tough following that performance. The Oklahoma Sooners really from start to finish. Scoreboard didn't indicate it all that much for much of the first half, even into halftime. But a game in which it felt like the home Sooners controlled throughout. Sometimes you just got to tip your cap to the other team. I know you don't like doing that as an Alabama fan when you're talking about a 5-loss team. So make that 2 now, 2 5-loss teams in one season that Alabama has lost to. Both those games on the road, Vanderbilt being the other 5-loss team. I mean, the previous guy, got to go back years, right? You got to go about all the way back to like 2007 to find that type of loss total just once, if once. But it's where Alabama football sits tonight. It's college football playoff hopes. You have to think dashed at this point, because even a team like Indiana earlier today, losing by 23 in Columbus, is still only a 1-loss team from a Power 4 conference. So all in all, not the worst day, I guess, for Kurt Cignetti's team. I did watch Unknown Damone checking in here in the comments. By the way, if you'd like to do that, feel free to jump on board. We're here for you. A little therapeutic, maybe, in some ways, following that performance. And Unknown Damone chiming in with, if you want to keep what's left of your sanity, do not watch the DeBoer press conference. Well, too late. Too late, UD. I already tuned that baby in. As much as anything, I was trying to learn maybe something about Deontay Lawson. I knew it didn't look good on the field at the time. I knew it didn't look good when you started getting some of the reports from Holly Rowe down on that sideline. But we didn't hear much of anything else, just a lower extremity injury for Deontay. And you just hope it's not. Really, at this point, it would be career ending if it's season ending, because he is a senior. Still got, for him, senior day coming up against Auburn next week, an Iron Bowl. You just don't like to see it end that way. And hopefully that's not the case, but we didn't learn anything new on that front. And really, in terms of the game in general, didn't learn a lot new from Kalen than what we saw with our very own eyes. I don't think you needed to hear much from Kalen post game. It was pretty clear from the outset that Oklahoma was going to lean on the run game, going to lean on running its quarterback in Jackson Arnold. I talked about this on Spaces at halftime on X, that it shouldn't have been a surprise at all that Jackson Arnold was being featured in the run game. That was on tape. You can go back to even the Ole Miss game when he was reinserted into the starting lineup after being replaced by Michael Hawkins earlier in the year. He was being exposed to quarterback runs, and he's pretty good sized dude, pretty good athlete, kind of Jackson Dartish a little bit, I would say. So, you know, there should be no surprises on November the 23rd, even for a team coming off a bye week. You almost have to look at it introspectively as, okay, how would I attack us? You know, both offensively and defensively. Well, defensively, you know, you saw Vanderbilt do some good things in a talent deficit situation. And look, Oklahoma's more talented than Vanderbilt. So if it worked for Vanderbilt conceptually in a lot of ways, then why not? Why wouldn't you put some of those things in? Why wouldn't you put in a shovel pass? You know, why wouldn't you try to shrink the game and see if you could get this thing into the second half and see if Alabama would blink? And boy, in the third quarter, Alabama blinked all right. You thought going into this game, as far as takeaways were concerned, Alabama would have the advantage there, had been very, very productive with takeaways. I think 8 in the last 3 games, SEC games for Alabama, and it started well enough. You produce one there at about midfield. Looks like you're going to get out to maybe a 7-0 lead. You really feel like you lost 2 touchdowns by Ryan Williams tonight, don't you? Steps out of bounds on review. That one is reversed. And then the touchdown grab there in the second half, which was a bad – it seemed like it was a bad call. I mean, the broadcast, certainly with the help of a former official, seemed to conclude that Ryan was not covered up as an inside receiver on that hellacious catch by Ryan Williams. So, felt like he lost a couple of touchdown grabs by Ryan Williams. But you know what college football playoff teams do? They overcome that kind of stuff. And, you know, they go into the half down 7. They come out in the third quarter and, you know, they take care of business. What I did like about the early stages of the third quarter, because, look, we talked about how Oklahoma attacked the Alabama defense, but, you know, offensively, Oklahoma attacked the Alabama defense offensively, but defensively, with those linebackers and that front 7, there was no surprise that it was going to be tough to run the football. Kalen talked about it in the post game, said he knew it was going to be a physical football game. You know, guys like Stutzman and everyone at that linebacker level, even those safeties. There's no Tommy Harris on that OU defensive front, but still good enough that if they make it a point of emphasis to especially take away the quarterback run, Jalen Milroe's legs were not going to beat Oklahoma Saturday night. That was pretty obvious from the outset. And I thought Jalen was, you know, kind of amped up Jalen too, trying to do a lot. Give him some credit. He did hit the big throw to Jeremy Bernard across the middle there early to convert a third downs. But third downs, for the most part, were not a friend of the Alabama offense. I think Alabama converted, well, you know, Alabama ended up converting 7 of 14, but just in terms of degree of difficulty, Alabama's average third down yards to gain was 11.7. And that's because Alabama obviously just wasn't good enough on early downs. Really just fragmented offensively. Never felt like the plan from LSU was just sort of carried over to Oklahoma. And Oklahoma's front 7 and Oklahoma defensively is an entirely different deal than LSU. You know, you're not just going to run Jalen for chunks against Stutzman and those guys for OU. And so, you know, you thought you might see more of the backs. I thought Jam was pretty good. Jam is one of the few guys really on the offense right now. And I'm talking about the offensive line too. I mean, I know those guys get a lot of love and I know they've done some nice things, but it feels like Jam is one of the few guys on that side of the ball where I can kind of count on what I'm going to get. Even if it isn't statistically overwhelming, I'm talking more about physicality, just the wiring of Jam Miller on a week in and week out basis. And Justice had a couple of nice runs, but I was left to wonder if there wasn't something wrong with Justice health-wise, because he had a physical run there pretty early in the third quarter, I believe it was. And then he taps, you know, to get another back out there. And we actually saw Richard Young there in the football game. So I kind of left to wonder maybe what's up with Justice, maybe from a health perspective. But, you know, it really just wasn't in any phase. Special teams, it wasn't good enough. Burnup did have a nice punt, I guess, down inside the 10. But he's still, at this point, he's still too inconsistent. It doesn't match up to the talent all the time with James. Ryan Williams, love him. I'm all for him getting touches, even in the kicking game. I know that's a little bit of a sore spot for some Alabama fans in terms of the potential for injury. But he does some things back there, judgment-wise, that are a little Kool-Aid McKinstry-ish, to put it one way. But it just wasn't Alabama's night. And it was pretty clear from the outset. Again, even though on the scoreboard, the game looked pretty competitive and was pretty competitive. And again, that's where Alabama had opportunities there in the second half with everything that happened. You know, with Oklahoma rushing for over 200 yards in the first half, it's still a 10-3 game. And you got an opportunity, if you're a legit CFP team, to go out there and do what you need to do in the second half. And boy, the turnovers were brutal. And, you know, we can talk about Jalen, especially at this point, after really two full seasons as being a starter. Bottom line is that's his fifth loss. That's Alabama's fifth loss with Jalen behind center. Can you pin all of that on Jalen Milroe? Absolutely not. But, you know, the turnovers were catastrophic. I know the screen that was picked. It just seems like tempo and or the quick game are not it for this offense the last couple of years. I don't know if it's more about Jalen or just, you know, the changes that they've gone through with offensive coordinators and things like that. But it just seems like when they try to go tempo, it doesn't end well. And the quick game, part of me gives Kalen DeBoer credit for this year in terms of what he's tried to get out of Jalen Milroe as a all-around quarterback. And he obviously has, or at least had, a lot of belief in Jalen to be able to carry out all those things. But they still don't match up. They still don't line up on a consistent basis. And the biggest disappointment for me tonight with Jalen was the pick six, when it initially looked like he was going to make a concerted effort to keep that short of the end zone. Hey, give your defense at least a chance to play there. And then he kind of goes for a slide tackle over on the sideline. And at that point, if the next series, Kalen DeBoer had decided he was going to go ahead and give Ty Simpson at least a series, I could have understood it. I also understand, you know, 10th, 11th game of the season, Jalen's your guy. You got to kind of stick with him, or at least that's the sense for Kalen. But it also goes back to me. We talked about this earlier in the season, too, the whole captainship. And I don't want to get back into that too much. I'm a believer that keep that the way it was, you know, put those things on people after the season. You know, that conversation was earlier in relation more to Malachi Moore, who I thought tonight actually performed to the level that you would expect of a captain. There were times when I thought Malachi was trying to fill gaps that linebackers should have been in. So no beef with Malachi, but yeah. You know, that's three losses now for Alabama. And statistically, I don't even want to get into that. I want to hear from you guys, give you a chance to share your thoughts. And David checking in here in the show chat. Why does it appear we are completely unprepared in some games and then very well prepared in others? David, it's a great question. I will tell you the common denominator this season has been pretty much the road, right? So other than LSU and Wisconsin, that's a game that gets overlooked. It at least looks, and it seems like throughout this week, or it seemed like, Kalen was pretty convinced that they had had a good week. He even sort of pointed to that again in the post game that he thought they had had a good week. Goes to show. And that's really what this is going to come down to moving forward is you know, what's happening on a consistent basis and how that carries over to game day, because whatever, and I'm not one of these people who have a problem with changes in how DeBoer goes about his stuff relative to how Nick went about his stuff. I don't care. Right. I'm not a, you know, don't tell me about, I'm a, don't tell me about the labor pains. Just show me the baby type. Cause a lot of different ways can get it done. But, you know, I think as much as anything, I go back to mentally and physically tough football teams travel well. You know, they tend to travel well and they can take a punch. And that's not to say that Alabama in these road games has entirely rolled over. But, you know, it has felt like at times in each of these three road losses where the one thing you can't afford to do, the one mental lapse, the one misalignment, the one busted assignment, there are things defensively I still don't get about this defense. And there was a little bit of a respite from it when you went through a stretch of an undermanned Missouri team. And, you know, you played Mercer, who actually put some yards on you in the first half last week, if not a lot of points. LSU took the ball away, did a nice job of that, got after the quarterback. It's been disjointed. And offensively too, right? It's a quarterback-centric offense, I think, under Kalen and Nick Sheridan. So you better have it damn well buttoned up and be very, very good. And not just in terms of, you know, the attributes you look for in a quarterback at the combine or those type of things. If you're going to put a lot on the quarterback, you know, even Ryan's disallowed touchdown that it looks like should have been allowed. You know, part of the problem with that is it's November the 23rd and you're still running up against it in the play clock. You know, it's game 11 and you're still struggling even in tempo or when it looks like you might be in tempo to get aligned and legally and then run plays. So, and I think that makes it tough in tempo, right? I mean, if you're not sure when you're just at regular speed, if you're getting lined up correctly, you become really suspect to mistakes when you try to go fast. We got Nick here. Nick states, it's so odd how so many players can simultaneously play bad in one game. Sometimes it just looks that way. Sometimes it's true. But I think tonight there were multiple guys that certainly did not have their best game. And I think that goes to the coaching staff too. The surprise to me was that it was almost as if Alabama was surprised, right? That it got what it got from Oklahoma defensively, or it got what it got from Oklahoma offensively. That was the biggest surprise to me. Nathan, 844-1844, checking in here, says, championship teams run the ball with running backs and stop the run. We cannot do either. We cannot do neither. Offensive linemen are fat and not athletic. Now, we can have a conversation about, I wonder about the ceiling for some of those guys based on where they're at physically right now. You know, maybe they're going to be fine. But, and Nathan 1844 also says, cannot blow anyone off the ball. Defense not physical with poor tackling. Well, you know, give Oklahoma credit again. Those linebackers were pretty much bringing it, starting with Stutzman. And Alabama really didn't have an answer. Although I would say this, it just felt like tonight, gap scheme or counter stuff or the slower developing pulling linemen and things like that, it just wasn't going to work. You know, you needed to be pretty direct with your runs. But the conceptually or in terms of execution, it was not good. I thought, you know, once it became clear that Milroe was not going to beat Oklahoma with his legs, which again, shouldn't have been a surprise because Oklahoma's built in a way that they can limit that a lot more than LSU could. The backs would have been a bigger part of things. And people around Jalen weren't good enough. The offensive line wasn't good enough tonight. He had some drops. Jalen wasn't good enough. It was an education for the Alabama offense. Ben checking in. When would you say the honeymoon is over with the Boer? End of the season? Well, I think it's over right now. I mean, you're 8-3. It's been a long time since Alabama's been in that boat. What? I think you got to go back a long, long way to 8-3. I mean, you're a 3-loss regular season team now. It just hasn't happened really till and since what, 2010? 9-3 in 2010. But even that season, you came out of it with the impressive performance in the Citrus Bowl, which might ring a familiar tune coming up here. You came out of it feeling like after that win over Michigan State, you know what? If these guys come back, this is still going to be a special roster in 2011. And it certainly played out to be that way. The next 2 years, really, I don't think you can look at this team that way moving forward. Not entirely because I don't think there aren't good young players on this team or guys that'll be coming back. It's just the portal. You know, you didn't have the portal in 2010. You kind of count on things a lot more back then than you can now. So let's check in here. Nick again says they did a few things, Vandy. Yes, they did. Absolutely. Talked about that on Spaces at halftime, Nick. I tweeted about it during the game. I would too. Why wouldn't you? You know, it worked. And it also played into the approach that Oklahoma needed to follow to have a chance to win the game. And, you know, that's exactly the way it played out. Yes, the shovel pass too. We've got Slossickle checking in here. Where was K-Law? It's a good question. He was out there, best I could tell. But that's been interesting, too, in terms of receiver depth and how guys have been utilized. You know, it's largely been the Bernard and Ryan Williams show, which I get. That's pretty much the way it is. And I know the guys talked about it on the broadcast tonight. I think it has been problematic, and you wondered if it might be. Even though you've kept Ryan Williams healthy through 11 games, boy, it'd really be nice to have another legit outside guy to go with him and then Jeremy. So Jalen Hale, I think, probably would have given you that, and you don't have it because obviously he's out for the season. So again, you know, you had drops tonight too, lost a couple of potential touchdowns to review and a certainly controversial penalty. And I'm not going to go there with that penalty being a real turning point in the game. I'm not going to let Alabama off the hook that way for that performance and say, well, you know, if they don't blow that call, you never know. Well, you could say if Oklahoma doesn't totally miss on a wide ass open double pass for a touchdown, you know, it could have been worse at the half than it was too. Rainy checking in here in the comments. And again, you're certainly encouraged to do so if you'd like to. By the way, if you haven't subscribed to Ryer on YouTube, I hope you'll take the opportunity right now to hit that subscribe button. There is a notification bell right there as well. You can hit that notification bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops right here on Ryer on YouTube. And if you would give us a thumbs up, a like, we would greatly appreciate that as well. Rainey says, going to walk into a boiling pot next Saturday. Yeah, I just see here, Auburn has knocked off Texas A&M in overtime. Big win for the Auburn Tigers. Really went into this weekend wondering about Ole Miss, Alabama, and Texas A&M. Because they were all basically in the same kind of games. Ole Miss goes to Florida. Alabama goes to Oklahoma. And then you get Texas A&M at Auburn. That was an Ag Cup game too. But anyway, so all three of those road teams lose today. All of them fighting for their college football playoff life. Let's see what Edward White. Hey, I went to high school at Ed White. Hopefully DeBoer can regroup, replace some staff members that need to go, and sign a good class and improve next year. If not, he will have to go. Woof. It's getting hot. Getting hot with some people in Kalen DeBoer. I don't think it's to that point yet. I think it will certainly be an interesting offseason. And look, you don't show up next week. at home for an Iron Bowl, it could get really, really interesting. Now you're potentially down. See, and it wasn't just Deontay being out either. And I'm not trying to turn Q Robinson into Cornelius Bennett or Derek Thomas, but then you're down two experienced leaders and important pieces to your defense. So you lose Q late in the season. Looks like you've lost Deontay. That's rough. And, you know, I'll say this for Kalen. I don't believe it's to that point yet. And I think Kalen has some rightfully earned cachet from his previous stop. I mean, he is a championship coach. You know, he's been fine against the likes of Dan Lanning and Lincoln Riley and those kind of guys. This isn't a guy that came in from San Jose State, right? So there is some background there to tell us that he can do the job. But I would advise him very much so. Don't get fooled into thinking there are decisions that you can make 2 years from now that you might need to make now. You don't need to just throw the baby out with the bathwater, I don't think. But if there are a couple areas where it feels pretty clear to you that you need to go ahead and make some changes, make some upgrades, then now is the time to do it. I've seen coaches not do it in the past, and at some point down the road, they don't get the chance. My biggest issue with Alabama right now is that it's just not mentally strong, and in some ways, as an extension of that, physically strong enough to go on the road and do what you need to do. To get to where he wants to go at Alabama, you know, you're going to have to do that. Not just a couple times a year, like it was maybe in the Pac-12. You're going to have to do it 5, 6, 7 times a season. No. And Archie makes a good point. Zero touchdowns. Can't put that on the defense. No, you can't. You know, defense gave up plenty of yards. The one thing the defense did was kind of allow Oklahoma to control the game, right? You know, we talked about Alabama earlier in the third downs. Alabama actually pretty good percentage of third down conversions, considering they averaged nearly 12 yards to go. Second half, they had some penalties. Negative plays in the first half were a problem for the Alabama offense. Felt like guys were trying to do too much. Jalen on some runs, trying to hit home runs. When against that defense, you got to be a little more patient. If you got 4 yards, take 4 yards, play 2nd and 6. Don't turn down 4 yards and have to play 2nd and 11 against that defense. But Auburn, you know, I mean, excuse me, Oklahoma, not a very good third down offense at all, but a lot better tonight when they only averaged 4 yards to go on third down. That was the disparity. And also, you know, again, it goes back to first down. Alabama only averaged about 3 yards per first down play. Oklahoma averaged about 7, you know, so that shows up too. Back to Slawsicle. If we're being honest, we lost a lot of players and replaced head coach DCOC. Everyone should have expected some growing pains. Yeah, I don't think that's necessarily the problem, Slawsicle. But, you know, again, as I said earlier, it's one thing to lose 3 games, but when 2 of those losses are to 5-loss teams, that's just not something that Alabama fans are accustomed to at this point. And understanding life on the road is tough in the Southeastern Conference, but you know, that will stand out when you lose to a couple of 5-loss teams, even if they do come on the road. Little Joe C checking in here. As an Alabama fan, can I be tired of Milroe? You can be. It's been a mixed bag. I think that's fair to say at this point. You know, Jalen in 24 starts, I think now has 5 losses. Alabama has 5 losses. We talked about this a little bit earlier. That's not all on Jalen, but that's what it is. And that's a pretty big number when you consider that he actually has two wins against Georgia. So that's sort of the roller coaster it's been a little bit. When he's been really good, he's been really, really good. And when he hasn't been good, it's been tough. And, you know, the Auburn game last year, he'll always be remembered for 4th and 31. The two Georgia wins, he'll always be remembered for those. He'll have that LSU win from a few weeks back in his back pocket. But, you know, people are going to counter that with Tennessee this year. You know, they're going to counter it with the Rose Bowl loss to Michigan. They're going to counter it with tonight. You know, that's kind of the life of the Alabama quarterback. But yeah, I mean, it's been a little bit up and down for Jalen. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Dexter, my man Dex, checking in late night as we hit the 11 o'clock hour Central Time. Dex here says, or asks, Trav, do you think we can beat Auburn without Lawson? He's so underrated in the defense. Jihad and Jefferson lost without him. He is important. Dex, there's no doubt. I mean, he's the green dot. He's the play caller. I was a little bit surprised to learn that it was actually Justin Jefferson that assumed the green dot. I would have thought that would have been Jihad, but typically that does go to the mic. So I get it from that standpoint. That's a lot to put on a guy. And I guess they look at it too, like Jihad, I mean, Justin plays a lot. It's not like you're just handing it to somebody cold off the bench when you do that with Justin, but it's a big void. You know, Deontay, very good in coverage too. Very good coverage backer. Yeah, I think Alabama can still beat Auburn. I know the narrative going into the week, and I get it to an extent, is two teams going opposite directions now, right? Because Auburn's won a couple of games. Had to go to multiple overtimes tonight, though, after a big lead early in that A&M game, but still got it done. Auburn on the road hasn't been very good. Do have a win at Kentucky earlier in the season. But, yeah, here's the thing. If you're Auburn, you're looking at your pieces on both sides of the ball and saying, hey, we kind of match up with them like Oklahoma did. You know, Peyton Thorne and Michael Vick, but neither was Jackson Arnold. So we can mix in those quarterback runs. We can mix in certainly Jarquez Hunter. And I think you can make the argument right now, Auburn, in terms of its wide receiver core, is beyond what OU put out there tonight. And also the offensive line. That's what's going to bother, I think, some folks the most about this loss to Oklahoma, is that that's not a good Oklahoma offensive line. But they look like the damn Joe Moore Award winners at times against Alabama Saturday night. So, you know, Alabama is the better team going into next Saturday, but some of the things we talked about tonight, wiring and strength mentally and physically, we're going to find out a lot. We're going to find out a lot about, you know, some guys that have that leadership status, that captain status on this team this week. We're going to find out a lot about this coaching staff. So we'll see. What else do we have here? Still some questions about usage for Kendrick Law, Jam Miller, Justice Haynes. Yeah, that's been kind of the thing throughout the year. I get it in terms of more touches for all those guys, but it's pretty obvious that this staff, Kalen and Nick Sheridan, felt like, hey, we want the ball in Jalen's hands as much as possible, even as a runner. And sometimes that's worked out. And against a defense like Oklahoma's, obviously, it did not. Wow, some strong comments about DeBoer in here for not benching Milrow tonight. Ooh. Here comes Shane. Shane's coming in hot. Can you coach effort? You can, but at this level of football is something you shouldn't have to coach, right? You shouldn't have to coach effort at Alabama. And Shane points to zero effort from Kobe Prentice on the first interception. That was a bust of some kind. I don't even know if that was an effort issue or if Kobe just wasn't sure of who to block, or it was catastrophic, no doubt about it. But, and then Shane points to zero effort on the tackle from Milrow after his second interception and a bad hero ball. I don't know. Shane's not happy. I said it earlier. If DeBoer had decided after that tackle attempt to go ahead and give Ty Simpson a series, I probably wouldn't have had too much of a problem with it. That can't happen. Jalen initially looked like he was going to make the play, and then I don't know what that was at the end of it. It wasn't inspirational. Philip Thomas chimes in here in the show chat. I think we found out what we need to know about this team. Well, we found out they're a 3-loss team. Citrusy, I think, what we found out. You know, Ken talks about the off week, and it's true. I mean, it helps. But I'm of the belief that in a lot of instances, the bye week against Saban Alabama teams or Kirby Georgia teams are some of the other truly elite programs, I think you're better off having the bye week after it, because I think too often what we see, or a lot, it seems like anyway, is we see a team lose that game to Alabama or Georgia and then lose the next week too. I'd almost rather have the next week off, but it looks like Oklahoma made good use of theirs. Although, again, everything Oklahoma did should not have been a surprise to Alabama. But because there was already some things conceptually that they had put on tape, especially the quarterback runs with Jackson Arnold. And that's the problem, too. You know, like what had looked like over a 3 or 4 game stretch, Alabama was getting a lot of helmets to the football. That's because it felt like they were getting it, you know? And then tonight, it felt all the way back to Vandy is what it felt like. Okay, what do we got here? Randy says Auburn by 14 next week. All a team has to do is put a spy on Milrow. It helps when the spy is somebody the caliber of like Stutzman or the, I'm telling you, Oklahoma's got some dudes at that, at those linebacker positions. Rainey's digging deep here with the issues. How much does financial immaturity and youth create intensity and effort issues these days with NIL money? I don't know. Because what do you always hear about Jalen? First guy in the building, you know? And I know, look, if you're an Alabama fan at this point and you're tired of hearing that because it hasn't always translated to what you want to see from him on the field, I get the cynicism at this point about that. But I would present to you Ryan Williams as a counter to that. This guy is 17 years old. I know you know that by now, right? But there isn't a bigger competitor on that entire roster than Ryan Williams. And he goes by Hollywood, and he is unquestionably, Jalen Milrow included, the biggest star on that football team is Ryan Williams. And I don't say what you want about that guy, and I don't know anything other than being glowing in your remarks about him that you can say. I don't ever question that with Ryan Williams. You need more Ryan Williams types. You need, to me, you need more Jam Millers. You need more Ryan Williams. You know, you need guys that can push through the suck. Everybody loves it when it's set up and easy, but having a surplus of the guys who can embrace the suck is a really undervalued commodity. David asking, if Milroe comes back, do you think he will start or will there be a legit battle? Right now, and I know you look at like this performance and you say, well, how could he go to the NFL after that? Sometimes it doesn't line up that way, right? I could envision a scenario where Jalen is off to the NFL regardless, just goes ahead and tries to take his shot at the NFL. I don't know. That's a great question. If he were to come back, I don't know anything. I don't have any intel. But if you ask me right now, would I be surprised if Jalen Milroe was back at Alabama in 2025? And it's not just based on tonight. It's just kind of the mindset I've had throughout the season that this is going to be it for him, one way or the other. That's kind of where I lean right now, David, on that one. We got some shocked folks in here, they say. What do we see here? Oh, nobody is safe tonight. Edward White checking back in here says, this offense begins and ends with the offensive line. We must improve the offensive line, whatever it takes. Yeah, I think that, you know, kind of in some areas it is what it is. I will say I was surprised to see the interior kind of get handled in a way in which they did tonight. I mean, they pulled Tyler Booker one time in a backer, just stoned him, folded him up. You don't see that. Give credit to Oklahoma. It's just one of those games, too, that the longer it went and the more confidence Oklahoma got, it was not a good thing for Alabama. But your tackles where you're going to look, you know, I know Caden physically is going to catch a lot of stuff, and he's caught it in the chat here tonight a little bit. I've said earlier in the season that I do wonder in terms of his upside, you know, where he can get, if he can just make a few changes. Tackle on the other side, regardless, is going to be interesting next year. Can Wilkin Formby make some strides? Do you portal there perhaps? You know, some different things to consider. I mean, it's always going to be important to be good on that offensive line. I think Alabama has felt like throughout the season, at least guard to guard, they are at a very high level. Tackle can be a little bit hit and miss. I thought there was some interesting usage of the tight ends tonight. You know, they come out of the timeout there in the fourth quarter that they had to burn because, again, they're up against it in the 11th game against the play clock. And, I mean, they need it. They come out of a timeout. I still don't know what happened to Dupree and Oots. I know, you know, Dupree had a drop. It wasn't his best night. It wasn't anybody's best night. But you come out of a timeout, and you're going to put a tight end in line and ask him to protect, and it's Josh Cuevas that you're doing that with. And by the way, Josh Cuevas with a hell of a catch tonight. Actually, that sort of angle route with the tight end, kind of a delayed angle in the back that we saw in the second half, that was a pretty cool concept. We just felt like we saw it about 2.5 quarters late. Dex is still talking about the Ryan Williams touchdown. Yeah, it was. It looked like they blew that. I know some of you really believe that was a momentum swinger. Maybe, you know, you can play that game both ways. I mean, Oklahoma just puked on a double pass in the first half that was just throw it on the field of play, and it's a touchdown. So that kind of goes both ways. Dex reiterating what we talked about earlier about Q being without him. Yeah, when you add that to now Deontay, that's not good. The Godfather of the SEC says Oklahoma speed was unreal. Alabama O-line couldn't block them. You know, hey, I don't know if Brent Venables is the big picture answer at OU, but one thing he's always had, whether it was Clemson or OU, is linebacker play. And those linebackers are dialed in and they play fast. And you don't wonder about a lot of assignment issues or misalignments. Now, look, Venables has had more time with those guys. So perhaps that's what we're going to see with Kane Womack in the not too distant future. I think we've seen some of it, but it just wasn't there tonight. And it could be a, could be a problem next week. We'll see. Jamie chiming in here says, we got whipped all night on the line of scrimmage, both sides. No argument. No argument here, Jamie. You know, when you get to halftime and the other team's rushed for 200 plus and have five tackles for a loss, and you have zero tackles for loss. Alabama did have four, I think, in the second half. That pretty much sums it up. William says the coaching staff is not getting the best out of these players. Three losses would tend to point towards that. Although I think it's a good enough roster to make a 12-team playoff. I don't know if it was a top. I don't know if it's a top four. I mean, there's still some positions where you've had guys like Minkah Fitzpatrick in the past, and you got what you got right now. I think corner's been okay. It hadn't been elite, you know. I think we kind of look at some of the guys at some of these positions and say, oh, yeah, that's a really good player. Well, it's a really good player relative to this roster. You compare it to some previous Alabama rosters, it's, you know, it's more Josh Jobe or Shaheem Carter, you know, who were good players. But, you know, there's not this sort of surplus of elite that is going unused or isn't being used well enough. Some folks getting upset that I'm giving Oklahoma too much credit. Look, I'm not saying they're a great team. I mean, I'm saying they did exactly what they needed to do to beat this Alabama team tonight. They did their due diligence during that bye week. They did. You know, it wasn't Alabama going to the wishbone in 71, but I thought something too. Lance points this out. A true Alabama defense would have sent Jackson Arnold to the bench. I don't know. I mean, late in the game is over, and you probably saw Arnold take a keeper to the corner. And instead of sliding there, you know, he tries to give this, like, disrespectful, dismissive stiff arm to Malachi. And I thought Malachi handled that the way he should have. I thought Malachi, as much grief as he got after the Vanderbilt game, I thought he was one of the guys tonight that performed at not only the required level, he had 10 tackles. I mean, eight of them were solos. It just felt like sometimes he was covering for linebackers too. I know Jahad had 12 tackles, but only three were solos. I thought Malachi played at that level. Bray Hubbard, 11 tackles, and had that big hit for the forced fumble, so that was good to see. He also had some moments where he maybe wasn't his best tonight, but yeah, it's still pretty damn good stat line when you have eight solos. Probably a bad thing when two of your safeties have 16 combined solo tackles and your star linebacker only has three. And also, Devontae Smith had five solos. So between the Husky and the two safety spots, you had 21 solo tackles from three DBs. And meanwhile, your two inside linebackers that saw the most time on the field, Jahad Campbell and Justin Jefferson, had a combined four solo tackles. 21-4. Anyway, hey, look, the sun will rise tomorrow. I know. I'm not here to deliver that speech, but trust me, it will. Stunning in some ways, not all that much in others. We'll see. Randy's still beating that bye week. Randy says, Mississippi State coming off a bye week would have beat Alabama. Oof. Mississippi State would take any win over an SEC team right now. But it's still going to be Iron Bowl week. I know the turkey and the dressing isn't going to taste as good on Thursday, but still got one to play coming up next Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Going to be senior day, Kalen DeBoer's first Iron Bowl. They all matter, and those certainly matter more than several others. So, big week still coming up for you right here on Ryer on YouTube. I'll be joined by Chase Goodbread coming up in the next few days, probably Tuesday, Wednesday with Chase. We'll be joined by Coach Schmitty as we get you ready for Alabama-Auburn this week as well. We'll have Second Helping, or SEC show, with my good friend Brent Beard coming up here early in the next week. So plenty of content coming right here on Ryer on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed to the Ryer on YouTube channel as of yet, hit that subscribe button right now. Hit that notifications bell. That way you're alerted to all of our content as it drops. And if you would hit us with a thumbs up, we would appreciate that as well. Lance checking in here before we get out. At least people still storming the field after beating us. I don't know. I think OU has done that in the past, though. Like, even for Bedlam or things. I don't know. But yeah, Lance. At least you got that going for you, right? Anyway, hey, thanks again, guys. It's always enjoyable, even in times like these. And we will check in with you throughout the week right here on Ryer on YouTube. Thanks. Good night. Until next time. So long, everybody.